Hey, this is Chad Brown. Thanks for checking out Chad and Nate on Demand, presented by SCO Mortgage, the home of MySpecialMortgage.com.
Happy 4th of July, Denver. In this morning for Chad and Nate, here's the Honorable Judge Dan Jacobs.
Welcome to the show. Dan Jacobs here with you on the 4th of July. Yes, I was listening to Chad and Troy on the way in. Of course, we will be talking some barbecue on the program today. This is my holiday, of course, because that's what you do on this holiday is you grill. 4th of July is typically where you get outside and you grill a little bit. And so, although I don't know what I'm going to do today, we'll probably just do burgers, something like that. I know Chad and Troy were asking me that. And I says, I don't know, man. See, we went so far out of control in Tampa with the grilling. And then actually did a little bit more grilling when we got back. So I'm a little bit, is it possible, can I be grilled out? I feel like I've done my fair share of grilling for a while now. So I don't know if that's a possibility. But, yeah, so what are you guys going to be doing? You know how we roll here on the Dan Jacobs Show. You guys put your effort into showing me what you have on your grill while I'm sitting here doing the show. I'm sitting here slaving over a hot microphone to steal a line from another broadcaster. So what are you guys slaving over in the backyard right now? So go ahead and get involved in the program. 303-713-1043 is the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. I love to see the pics. You guys usually do a pretty good job with that, showing us what you have going on out there on your grills out there. So appreciate looking forward to doing that as we get through the show today. Do have a nice little program lined up for you. We'll have James Marilat coming up here in about 20 minutes. We'll see what he's got going on his grill. And I think he's at the Marilat compound, which is, I think, in like Havasu or something like that. So he doesn't have the smoker that I helped him get, I'm sure, with him. I'm sure he doesn't bring that with him, but I don't know what kind of setup they have out there. I'm sure it's nice because, you know, they have the Marilat fortune, so to speak, that he won't reveal. So look forward to speaking with him, and then we'll have Andrew Mason. It's July, which means what's training camp, like 3 weeks away, something like that. So we will be looking forward to that. So we'll talk to Andrew Mason from DenverFan.com on that. And by the way, Dante getting some love here on the text line. Dante, good job. I heard you doing a very good job with the music while I was rolling into the station. You're raising your game, Dante. Nice work. Nice work out of you there. So Sydney, you'll have to make sure you get the job done. You got a lot to live up to now. So we'll look forward to seeing what you have as we roll along here. But, yeah, somebody on the text line says, Dante, your music choices on Saturday were on point. Seriously impressed. That's from Colin. So there you go. Yeah, we had quite the fun show on Saturday. For those of you that missed it, we discussed the phenomenon that is all the small things and how, I don't know, it wasn't the best analogy, but it almost feels like we're kind of getting Rickrolled. We're kind of getting pranked into, you know, fooled into kind of singing along to this, you know, fairly mediocre song. And people didn't, you know, it was funny, like a lot of people agreed with me, and then other people were very, very passionate. So we had a good discussion about that. Zach Bai came along, and we discussed his evolution as he's starting to grill. He's really getting his ribs down, Pat. So I wonder if he'll be doing some ribs today. So we'll see that. But he doesn't post his. I guess I'm a freak that way. Like, I always post my food pics. And people, you know, people say, hey, you know, you make me hungry, Dan. You make me hungry. But I said, Zach, where you at? You know, where's your food pics? I don't think I've ever actually seen him post any of that. So we'll just have to see if he puts something out there. I was looking at the text line here. Let's see what we have. Guys coming in. Well, getting started here. My buddy is a delivery driver, and he called out of work so we could attend the game together. Well, that's good. That's a, you know, good 4th of July story. We're getting started out there. Yeah, and then, yes, Brian, we will do the Seinfeld theme music. So, Sydney, if you want to remember that, we'll, when we have Andrew Mason on next hour, we'll bring him in with a little Seinfeld, because that's his deal. Look forward to talking to him. Yeah, some people sending us some weird stuff here on the text line. So that's interesting. Yeah, Sydney, where did you fall on the all the small things discussion?
What do you mean, whether they should retire it?
Yeah.
I haven't really decided. I think I'm leaning towards they should, just because it's just going to get too played out. It's just going to get annoying.
Yeah. Well, is it not already annoying?
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah. Oh, you think it is?
Yeah, kind of.
Wow. See, Sydney's on board with me. Yeah, it's, to me, it's just weird. It's a weird phenomenon. It's cool. It was cool. Like I said, you know, Will Peterson had that video on there. That was really cool. But, like, it's Blink-182. It's pretty marginal. And I don't know. I just don't know if I'm okay with it going on forever, like in eternity. So, hey, Sydney, I think we're on the same page here. So just checking here on the old text line. Somebody says, Dan, how many times are you going to say Rickroll today? My buddies and I made a drinking game out of it on Saturday. Needless to say, we were hammered by the end of the show. You never fail to amaze us. You're a legend, Dan. Happy Independence Day. Well, I don't know. Was that a compliment or not a compliment? I'm not sure. It was kind of like a backhanded compliment. But hey, happy 4th of July Independence Day to you as well, as we get rolling along in here. Yeah, I heard them talking about on the show about where in the world is the Stanley Cup? Where is that today? They were talking about that with Chad and Troy Rank. So. It's where in the world is the cup? Is that a new deal? So I thought that was interesting. Yeah, and Troy was talking about, I was surprised. He has a bulldog that he walks for an entire hour. I was like, yeah, bulldogs don't seem to walk that much. They seem to be, what do you call that? Fruitful with their energy. They're very frugal with their energy. A move with purpose, so to speak. So, but we actually have a boxer bulldog mix. But both the dogs right now have pneumonia in the house, so not a great situation there with that. But their barks are like right now because they are both getting over a little bout with pneumonia. So a little bit worried. But yeah, so our dog. I have a Vizsla puppy as well, and he just started barking all of a sudden. He's about 7 months old. Weird phenomenon. They didn't bark at all, and now all of a sudden he just decided, he figured out that's the thing. I can do that. I can bark. So that was interesting. This one says, Counselor, you inspired me to attempting smoking meats after researching it. I went with a pit barrel cooker. Did I do good? Yeah, hey. Those are work. That's no joke. Like, that's not like a pellet grill. That's if you're using a barrel, That's the real deal. Someone else here says, the other thing they need to retire is yelling, and the flag was still there during the anthem. Well, I noticed that. One of the things I did notice was, so Jake Schroeder, who did the anthems forever, he just retired. But I noticed they're still doing that. They still scream that with this young lady that was singing the anthem the other day. So that is going to continue, I think. So I thought that's cool. I thought that's a nice little trend, a nice little unique thing that Colorado had, that part, with the anthem. I thought. See, that's organic. I can put up with. Yeah, that I like. All the small things. I don't know. I think maybe it's run its course. That's all you're talking about. So, all right. Somebody says Angus burgers on the smoker, bacon wrapped onion rings, smoked pulled pork that was done before the sun was up this morning, and some fresh roasted Hatch chilies to go on top. Oh, man. Yeah, he sent a picture of this on the text line. Man, you're making me hungry right now. Those look fantastic. Those are the real deal right there. So, yeah, man, keep that stuff coming on in. Those look great. What else you guys out there cooking? Yeah, so I did the armadillo eggs the other day, which are they're jalapenos that have they're super healthy. Yeah, they have like a cream cheese with a fresh grated cheddar filling with some seasonings as well. Then you stuff those. And then you wrap them in sausage and then wrap it in bacon. And then you put them on the smoker for, I don't know, like an hour or so. So those were a big hit when I was grilling the other day. So there we go. Somebody says, happy 4th of July, Dan from Baghdad, Arizona. Yes, no more Woodland Park. That was our buddy. He moved to Arizona, but he listens to the show. From Baghdad, Arizona. Well, thanks for checking in there. Just take another quick look here. All right. So it's not good cop, bad cop. Somebody's saying, since you're a judge, why do you have good cops, bad cops with James Merrillat? I don't know. James is just a lightning rod. But I was saying to somebody on Twitter yesterday, it actually, I like bringing James on because then I look nice by comparison, right? Like he's a proper villain, so then I look like a good guy, right? Isn't that how it works? Because it used to be, it was like, oh, Dan Jacobs, people get upset, but it's like, well, if I can bring James on and I can give James a hard time, and I can make him to be the villain, then I look better, don't I? That's that's the theory. Anyway, but yeah, we'll have James on. Boy, he got people riled up when we had him on Saturday that the Avalanche, quote, got away with it when they won the Stanley Cup. They got away with it. I couldn't quite figure out, where he is, because one of many says, well, they went cheap with goalie, but then he also says, well, they should bring back Darcy Kemper. So it's pretty interesting. He's tough to pin down, man. He's very tough to pin down. Like, he's now all of a sudden, he's on the Nazem Kadri train. He wasn't on the Nazem for 2 years. He did nothing but kill Nazem Kadri. Now he's on the Nazem Kadri train. So James Merrillat is a tough, tough guy to pin down. So look forward to visiting with him coming up in just a minute. And then, yes, next hour we'll have Andrew Mason from DenverFan.com, our senior Broncos writer. So we'll be visiting with him. So keep it coming. Keep your grill picks. I want to know, what are you doing for your meats today on the 4th of July? Dan Jacobs rolling along here on The Fan.
In this morning for Chad and Nate, here's the Honorable Judge Dan Jacobs.
Right here goes out to all the babies, mamas, 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 baby mamas, mamas.
All right.
Yeah, go like that.
To the Hotline. James Merrillat joins us from DenverFan.com. James, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So you at the compound?
No. We're just down the road a bit. We're down in Larkspur.
What are you doing in Larkspur?
Jellystone. It's like a new campground that's down here, hanging out with the few families and, you know, kids playing in the pool and doing all that sort of stuff. It's a pretty cool spot. I'd never been here before.
Yeah, I've been there. You can get a golf cart if you want. You can be like Mark Schlereth. You can roll around like Mark Schlereth in his neighborhood. You can rent a golf cart when you're
No doubt. My kids are loving that. That's like their ultimate freedom. It's great.
Yeah. So did you get a golf cart?
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, nice. Very nice. I've actually stayed there once. So I did one time. We're not really the camping type, but we bought a pop-up camper. And
okay.
So we went to Jellystone to try it out. So it's a nice spot.
You're not really the camping type, but you have a camper?
Well, we don't need more. We got rid of it, but we had it for a little while.
You came up here, tried it out, and like, nope, we don't need this. We're going to sell this. We're done.
Yeah, I'm more of a hotel type place.
As am I.
Or
as am
I. Or a cabin.
I'm right there.
So, you know, cabin.
Right there.
Like that.
Right there with you.
Yep. So you're going to be grilling though? I mean, I'm sure you got something you got to be throwing on the grill there, don't you?
Yeah, we did yesterday. I'll be doing some more today. So I'm not using my smoker, just using the old propane grill. But heck yeah, it's 4th of July. That's what you do.
Yeah, that's kind of you know, my holiday, so to speak. Although I don't know what I'm going to do today. I'll probably just do hamburgers and stuff because we always go to my sister's house. But we'll do something. We'll figure something out. So hey, thanks for coming on. You got everybody really riled up the other day when we had you on Saturday when you said the
for what? How did I rile everybody up? What did I say?
You said the Avalanche, quote, got away with it when they won the Stanley Cup. And it was very upsetting to people, James. How could you do that?
Okay, well, and I'm assuming we were talking about Darcy Kuemper. And normally, to win a Stanley Cup,
and Jared Bednar,
you have to have a great goaltender, right? You can look at the Avs' history. The other two times they won it, they had Patrick Waugh between the pipes. The Lightning had won two straight. They had Vasilevsky, a great goaltender. So normally you have to go that route or need that piece in order to win it. Sometimes, much like in football, the example we had was Trent Dilfer winning the Super Bowl in Baltimore because they had a great, great defense, a historic defense. The Avs were so good everywhere else that they were able to get away with having a C-plus goaltender and win a cup. It's not the norm. They got away with it. I don't know why that would be controversial. Do people think Darcy Kuemper is an A-plus goaltender? Is that the misconception? I think that's I think what I said is a very fair assessment. They did get away with it, and great. They may get away with it again next year because that's how good the roster is. Other than in goal, but to say that they had a great goaltender would be totally off the mark.
Well, you also were saying Jared Bednar was. Not a very good coach. Is that what you're getting at?
That's not what I see. This is why people think I'm negative. I never said that. I said all along.
You said they went cheap at coach and that
they did.
Well,
they
I mean, you, that's not a good thing. If you write an article that says they went cheap at goaltender and coach, that's not like a ringing endorsement of Jared Bednar, is it?
It's stating a fact. If you're not in the top half of coaches in terms of salary, they did go cheap and it worked out. Great. I mean, sometimes you can you know, go into the dollar store and find yourself a really nice product every once in a while. But by and large, again, if you're going to be a team that's winning consistently, you have to have one of the best coaches in the league and you have to have one of the best goaltenders in the league. How is that measured? Well, typically it's measured based on, well, how much do they earn? Where do they stack up against their their brethren in terms of salary? And if you're in the bottom half of the league, your team is going cheap on coach. It worked out, and Jared Bednar did a fantastic job in the postseason. And I think he'll certainly end up getting more money, but they did. That's just a statement of fact that the Avs had a goaltender who I think was 20th in the league in terms of salary, and they have a head coach who's in the bottom half. And they were able to get away with it because They spent their money in other places and spent it wisely and have a great roster with a ton of great players. And that was the difference.
Yeah. So the Jared Bednar speech, by the way, I know you and I did talk about it. You weren't killing him, but I was giving Mark Schlereth a hard time. Mark Schlereth giving Jared Bednar a hard time about showing emotion. Obviously, he was very tipsy. But then I'm like, wait a minute. Mark Schlereth is rolling around in his neighborhood in a golf cart. Like, that's not like, a tough guy, is it?
I don't know. I'm not going to call Mark out on the golf cart. I think that's a power move right there, rolling around your neighborhood in a golf cart.
Right.
That is that's pretty varsity right there. I thought Jared Bednar's speech was awesome. I thought his emotion was genuine. Did he sound like the guy at 1:30 in the morning in Vegas who wants to tell you how much he loves you? Yeah, that's what he was. He's loving his buddies at that point. But he's a guy who, had taken a ton of criticism. I think it was fair criticism, and he had to prove that he could help this team get over the hump, and he did. And so I think he was, genuinely appreciative of the fact that Joe Sakic stuck with him, the Kroenke stuck with him, and he let those emotions out. I thought it was great. I thought everything about the parade that included the players and the coaches and Joe Sakic was awesome. I think they could have had, eight less floats, but other than that, it was a great day.
Right. Now, do you think Nazem Kadri was calling you out in particular when he put, he said, everybody that said I was a liability can kiss my you-know-what. Was he coming after you in particular, James?
I don't think it was at me in particular. I think I was in the group, though. I think I was in that that group of naysayers. And again, I think that was a fair criticism of Nazem Kadri because it wasn't one time. He did it twice in Toronto and hurt his team in the postseason. He did it in his first year in Colorado, hurt his team in the postseason by not being able to control himself and play within the rules. And so the question of, hey, is this guy going to be able to be there when it matters most and help his team? There was reasons to wonder about it. And he proved this year that he could do it and he could, keep his behavior in check enough to not get suspended and to actually be out on the ice to help his team. Now, the fact that he's the way he is part of the reason why he got hurt because he puts a bullseye on his back.
Oh, stop.
Kane goes after him. So, he did miss some games because of the way he is. But ultimately, he came out and he helped his team and he answered the critics. That's what you're supposed to do. That's how it's supposed to work. And he pulled it off. That was great.
Yeah, nice flip-flop, by the way. Nice. You came around. You admitted you were wrong. So I appreciate that from you. Good job.
Well, I mean, again, he did. How many games did he miss this year in the postseason? He missed some games, but the fact that he was able to come back was the difference maker. Obviously came back and had a huge impact with the overtime goal. And he's a great player who had issues before, and he was able to not have those issues this time. So that's great. I mean, I don't think that's flip flopping. I think it's throwing out a factual concern. And then seeing if the player can, overcome that. And he certainly did, which was great. It was great.
Yeah. So I think we're starting up maybe having this conversation again now that they have won the cup. They, quote, got away with it. Where do you fall, the 2001 team or this team? Which one do you think was better, so to speak?
Man, that would be a heck of a 7-game series. I would go with 0-1, partially because I'm the old guy, so I got to represent history. So I'm going to go with that team. But also, the big difference is Patrick Waugh versus Darcy Kuemper, right? Like, that's the difference maker. When that 0-1 team was healthy, right? I mean, they won the cup without Peter Forsberg. That's the equivalent of losing Nathan MacKinnon during the playoffs and still winning the cup.
Right.
But with Sakic and Forsberg and Bork and, I think there were 5 or 6 Hall of Famers on that team. So, it'd be a heck of a series, but I'll take the 0-1 team over this team. But you know what? That team wasn't able to repeat. And I think this Avs team, they're the odds on favorite going into next season to win the cup again. I think that the goal at this point should be become the first team in 4 decades to win 3 straight. This team is talented enough and young enough. And it has the personnel and the roster to win multiple cups. So if they do, if they win back-to-back, there's going to be no conversation or no discussion about which team is better. They'll put themselves at the top of that list.
So I'm sure you saw the E60 Unrivaled about the Red Wings rivalry. I thought it was really good. I guess DMACC though was saying it was a puff piece for the Red Wings. What did you think?
It was a little bit Red Wings heavy, and it also ended kind of abruptly. Like it ended after the 97 season, and you know, that rivalry went on for multiple years. The Avs beat the Red Wings multiple times in the postseason. Now, they lost to the Stars in the Western Conference Finals, but to get there a couple of times, they had to beat the Red Wings. There was also the series in which the Red Wings won in seven and won game seven, like 7-0 in Detroit against Patrick Waugh. So there were other pieces of it that just didn't get included. Was it a puff piece? I don't know. It kind of turned into it because of the Konstantinov portion at the end. You know, that certainly became the centerpiece of the story, but it was fantastic. And man, you watch that show and you're like, gosh, hockey is physical and hockey is, you know, rough and tumble, but it isn't right now. It isn't like it was back in the day. Those were some vicious hits. I mean, that was a different era for sure.
Well, that's what I was saying about that whole Nazem Kadri hit last year in the playoffs. Like 15, 20 years ago, that wouldn't have even been considered a dirty hit at all, would it?
No. And the best part of that Unrivaled documentary was the guy from the NHL who was basically just saying, like, look, unless you have, what, 6 stitches, we're not even gonna worry about or talk about a suspension. You know, they had that big brawl in Detroit. Nobody got kicked out of the game. Nobody got suspended. It was different. I'm not saying that's necessarily better, though. Like, it was also back in the clutch and grab era, and the Devils were able to win because they would just slow teams down. And, you know, we saw a little bit of that with the Lightning. They want to play a more physical, a slow it down type of a game. Like, that's not entertaining. I mean, you watching the Avs and the Oilers have an 8-6 game, you know, that may be ridiculous to the other extreme, but that's going to bring in the masses. So I think the game is better today because they don't allow some of that nonsense and some of that stuff, but it certainly was it was more rough and tumble back in the day, and that Nazem Kadri hits a perfect example. That would have been nothing 20 years ago, and now it got him what, an 8-game suspension and cost his team dearly. So back in the day that would have been nothing. They wouldn't have batted an eye at that.
Yeah. Hey, now I was looking at your Twitter. Are you stirring the pot with Russell Wilson already?
No, I was just pointing it out that, look, if they start 2-4, Dan, and this guy's in Monaco and he's in London and he's back in California and he's bouncing all over the place and he's never in the same time zone 2 days in a row, that is going to be a conversation. I'm not saying I'm going to say it's the reason, but to act like that won't come up and that people in this town won't be questioning whether or not that's the best policy or the best way about going about getting ready for the season is naive. It will certainly be a topic of conversation. Now, whether or not it's fair or not, that's a different topic, but without a doubt, it will come up. Now, I don't think they're going to start off slow. I don't think they're going to lose, so it's a moot point, but I was just pointing out, hey, this will be an issue if this team doesn't win, and if anybody doesn't think that, they must be new to town. I mean, if you're the quarterback of the Broncos, you are the most famous person in the state, and you were probably the most scrutinized person in the state. And if things aren't going well, people are going to ask why. And if you're in London and Monaco and bouncing all over the place, that is going to be one of the reasons people throw out there as why things aren't going well. So again, just pointing out the facts, and apparently the facts and the reality just get some people stirred up, Dan.
Well, I just don't understand why what he does in his off season matters.
Well, again, if you go out and you play well, it doesn't matter. If you don't play well, it's going to be, well, why is he not playing well? Why has he regressed? And so then all of a sudden you're going to start looking for reasons. And what you're doing in the off season and gallivanting all over the world and being a globetrotter and a jet setter will be one of the reasons people throw out there. And I think it would be a fair reason. Like, if you don't play well, then I think the fact that you're in a different time zone every single day is a real reason that people would put out there for sure. I think that's fair.
Well, I it's the off season. They're not working right now. Like, what's it matter?
Well, it's not just in the off season that he does this though, right? Like he was in Monaco for the Monaco Grand Prix and then had to fly back and have practice the next day. And I give him a ton of credit for doing that. And he's working out when he's in London and, you know, he makes sure to post those videos and let everybody know that he's working out at the soccer club and doing all that kind of stuff. But it's not just the off season that he's, you know, bouncing from place to place to place. He does it all the time. And again, it's you know, free country. He can do whatever he wants to. But it's also, if things don't go well and he doesn't play well, it's a free country. And we can say, hey, well, maybe it's because you're, you know, not in the same place twice. I mean, any job you're doing is more difficult if you don't have your routine and you don't have your, you know, if you're living out of a suitcase and bouncing around, like, of course that would make it more of a challenge. Now, he'll probably be able to pull it off, and I think he's going to be fine. But if you're doing that kind of stuff, you are opening up yourself for criticism, and I think it's fair.
Well, and I've heard Tyler Palumbis kind of hint around about that, I don't know, his teammates, is he going to be really well, like, how is he going to be received? Like, you know, obviously he comes in, he says all the right things, he works hard. During the season, what we've been told is he's going to study, he's going to be almost like a Peyton Manning was, he's, you know, not going to get outworked. But is there a disconnect when you are making yourself such a big deal?
I think potentially, you know, I think it's one of those things, again, winning cures all, right? Like, it won't be an issue at all if they start the season 5-1 and they're rolling along and everything's going well and the offense is clicking. But if things, you know, don't start off as well as most of us think it will or should, then yeah, those kind of things do become, you know, they have a way to fester. I mean, look, I'm excited that the Broncos have a celebrity quarterback. It's a heck of a lot better than the options we've had in the past. But is it starting to become a little Russell Wilson fatigue? Yeah, and he hasn't even played a game yet. Like, this team just needs to get on the field, and he just needs to be a quarterback and, you know, get back to doing that as opposed to, you know, all the other stuff. But, yeah, it's been a bit of an exhausting 3 months. It feels like it's been 3 years that Russell Wilson's been here. And it's been 3 months. So does that wear thin on his teammates if things aren't going well? Yeah, I would imagine it probably can. But I think it's a moot point because I think they're going to be really good out of the gate. And I think, you know, winning cures all. But is there the potential for that? Sure. I think that's something that's certainly looming out there. But I don't think it's going to matter. I don't think it's going to end up being an issue.
Okay, cool. Well, hey, training camp is actually almost here. We're a few weeks away.
3 weeks from Wednesday, first practice. Yep. Yeah. It's right around the corner. And, you know, thanks to the Avs for getting us all the way to the 4th of July, right? Now we only got 3 weeks to kill, and the Broncos are back on the field. I can't wait. It's going to be a ton of fun.
Yep. You guys are, I would imagine, going to have some special stuff coming up on DenverFan.com, right?
We will. We will. Much like we did a post-game show after every Avs and Nuggets postseason game, we'll be doing some special stuff every day down at training camp. So, you know, be sure to follow us on social media and go to DenverFan.com. You won't miss a thing.
All right. So, James Merrillat, appreciate you taking some time here on the 4th of July. Appreciate it.
All right. Happy Independence Day.
All right. We'll talk to you later. All right. You guys want to react to what James had to say? You can do that. 303-713-1043 is the RamosLaw.com text line. We'll get to your reaction coming up next.
In this morning for Chad and Nate, here's the Honorable Judge Dan Jacobs.
Gonna play the game, boy. You gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away. And know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting. When the dealing's done.
All right, I like gambler.
You're every right. Gambler knows.
The secret to the RamosLaw.com. Next line. Says Dan T. I listened to your show every weekend. Was curious as to why I never heard any of your glory days on the Rangeview bowling team. Last week, Wickstrom said he coached you back in the day. Any cool stories? That's from Shane in Centennial. Well, I wasn't on the bowling team. I don't think high schools have bowling teams. I was, yeah, man, it was probably like seventh, eighth grade. Terry was my coach, one of my coaches. And, yeah, we won the state title. But, yeah, the problem is you only bowl for so long, and then it's not cool anymore. So, yeah, I just stopped doing it. And then, you know, the funny thing was, so none of my friends in high school knew that I had been a state champion. So one day we went and, you know, just we went to a bowling alley, and I was kind of sandbagging. And this one, you know, my one buddy said, "Man, I stink. I'm as bad as Dan." And I said, "Well, hey, what does that mean?" And he goes, "Well, you stink." I said, "Hey, I bet you I can beat you. You want to bet like $100? Which, you know, to a high school kid, that's a lot of money. And he goes, "Yeah, I'll beat you." So I think I started that game 8 strikes in a row. Oh, like a 280, two something. And he was like, what happened? Like, what's going on? So none of my friends knew that, you know, I had been a state champion in bowling. But now, you get to a certain age and you stop bowling. And then you become old and you probably start bowling again. I don't know. People go to bowling leagues and stuff, right? Another texter says, "Russell Wilson fatigue. Where has James been living the past 5 years? That he's impervious to the Broncos' ineptitude." That's from HD and L Town. Well, yeah. Like, hey, we've needed a quarterback. I don't have any Russell Wilson fatigue. That's for sure. I can't wait to see him get on the field. That's what I'm looking forward to. Hey, he's a different cat. I just saw on Twitter right now. Our Broncos super fan. I think that's a picture of Russell Wilson and Ciara in Wimbledon, you know, at Wimbledon with George Lucas, you know, the Star Wars creator guy. So, he just lives. He's living his best life, I guess is the term they call it, right? That's what they do. He is out there. He has his brand, and he is going to have a good time. So that's it. Colin writes in and says, "I 100% agree with Marilat. Denver knows what a championship team looks like. There's a certain chemistry necessary to bring home a championship. And I'm not sure how you build that when your captain, who has never played with this group or in this offense, is several thousands of miles away trying to be an influencer." I don't know. I think you guys may be making a little more out of this than you should be. But it's the off season. I don't know. And I guess, you know, James is bringing up, well, sometimes he's even doing it, you know, in between practices. Well, he can do what he wants. What we were told when he got here was that during the season, he's the first guy in the building and the last guy out. Like, he studies like nobody's business. He is like Peyton Manning in that type of regards. So, not sure if it's going to be that big a deal. Dan, Russell Wilson is where he's at today because he's been an overachiever his whole life. It's the way he chooses to live his life, working, and I think it's ridiculous that some newbie Denver fans would ask him to retreat from what made him who he is. None of this is new in terms of Russell Wilson's lifestyle. I don't have a problem with it, personally. I don't, you know, didn't know that James was getting everybody riled up about it, but hey, there you go. James sounds microaggressive. Training camp hasn't started yet. Russell Wilson is enjoying his time off. Peyton Manning was always active outside of the team. How about add more diversity on the fan staff? All right, well, I don't know what to say about that. This one says, James doesn't have opinions. He has shtick. I think he has great opinions. Now, yeah, now I did. I gave him quite a bit of the hard time about Nazem Kadri, and he's come around on it. Because he was very critical from the moment that Nazem Kadri was acquired. Like, just, he was killing the guy. And now, and he's still doing it, though. He's still doing that thing where he says it was Nazem Kadri's own fault that he got hurt. Because, you know, Vander Kane cheap-shotted him, and it's like, are you kidding me? And you know, I just can't believe you would get away with saying something like that. All right, so this one says, Your Honor, just curious if back in time before your grill master excellence to a time when you had your first grill, what were your go-to foods? P.S. First time grilling question. So actually, a good cut of meat. Now, it's weird, though, because it's actually just as expensive as ribeye now. But what I used to do when I was first learning how to grill, it's called flat iron steak. And it's like kind of like a long piece of meat, and you just take it. And actually, I learned this at we used to do, back with Irv and Joe, we would do these remotes in the summer, and we were at, there was some grill place, and they actually brought in these chefs, and they would teach us, you know, they would do like little demonstrations for us and things like that, and I still do this to this day. This is kind of my go-to. You just do a little bit of olive oil and Lowry's seasoned salt and garlic powder, and that's how you make a steak. And this, and you do that with that flat iron, man, it is phenomenal. And you cut them, you know, they kind of look like fajita strips or whatever. Man, it is some of the best stuff you can make, and it's not that hard to do. And it is just, it's nice because, you know, now that I have Deer Trail Meat Co., and you guys can too, things aren't nearly as bad. But, you know, if you just go to the store and, you know, it's $15, $20 a pound now for a flat iron. But if you go to deertrailmeatco.com, it's everything's about $5.75 a pound. But you can eat, you know, everybody can eat off that one steak. So the flat iron's, you know, a good quality cut of meat that you can go to. And it's not hard to do, and you look like a hero. So, you know, that's when I first, when I first started, I was grilling all the time. So yeah, my daughter Audra now is like, I'm completely ruined on meat because you stuffed so much meat, you know, our way when I was a kid, and she's still only 14. But you know, I guess when we were growing up in Kansas and stuff, or she was growing up in Kansas when I was going to law school, I guess we just ate meat all the time, and I started grilling. Like, started doing steaks and stuff, and then I transitioned over into the barbecue, smoking stuff, meats, things like that. So, that's, I hope that answers your question there, Mr. Lewis. All right, this texter says, Cooper Kupp said he and Matt Stafford spent over 600 hours outside of team scheduled activities last year to develop chemistry. Interesting. I don't know. It's weird because Tyler Palumbis is generally a very positive guy. But there's like this veiled comments that he does mention about Russell Wilson and about how maybe that it's just kind of tough to take if you're a teammate. So is it going to be an issue in the locker room? I doubt it because I think he's going to come in and they're going to play well. But I guess it could pop up. Broncos fans should be thankful and rejoice in the fact that they cheer for a top-tier organization. Heck, it could be worse. The Miami Dolphins have 3 winning seasons in the past 15. Now that's miserable, and you can hear it in the fans' voices. I was a Dolphins fan, so I don't really claim that anymore because it's been miserable. you just kind of you keep moving if you're a Dolphins fan. It's just terrible. And then they finally had a coach, and then they fire him, and, you know, it's a complete abomination. So, yeah, Broncos fans, let's ride. Just be happy. You got a quarterback finally. It was, you know, a long time, a half decade, wandering out in the wilderness. You didn't have it. So I'm just excited to see him come in here, get to work, get on the field, and strap it up. That's what I'm looking forward to. Dan the Man, I like listening to you because you are the only fan host who reads texts, negative or positive, like others hosts on 104.3 The Fan. Keep it up. Hey, I'm a man of the people. And, you know, I like to if you guys bring good stuff to the show, I will involve you in the show. That's what we do here. I do a better show. It's better for you guys to listen to. We all lift each other up, but you got to bring your A games too. But yeah, so that's what we like to do. You can get involved in the program. 303-713-1043 is the ramoslaw.com text line. You can also hit me up on Twitter at Dan T. Jacobs Law. At Dan T. Jacobs Law. We're talking about what are you grilling on this 4th of July holiday. We had a couple pictures earlier in the show, and then kind of fizzled out. One guy sent in some phenomenal pictures. Made me hungry just looking at them. So you guys want to be involved in the program, that's how you do it. 303-713-1043 or on Twitter at Dan T. Jacobs Law. 1 hour down. Coming up next hour in about 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes, we'll have Andrew Mason from DenverFan.com. We'll ask him about the whole, you know, Russell Wilson being an influencer, that type thing. Is it much ado about nothing? We'll discuss that with him coming up here in about 20 minutes. It's the Dan Jacobs Show here on the 4th of July. Happy holidays.
Hey, this is Nate Jackson. Thanks for checking out Chad and Nate on Demand, presented by SCL Mortgage, the home of myspecialmortgage.com.